Okay, excellent. So good Arab Shabbos, everybody. All right. So we'll meet, I guess now I understand we'll meet a little bit earlier next Friday. Henry will send something out. But I wanted to give a Chanukah shiur already now because, frankly, I'm in the spirit. I'll say this. I want to work towards a big point, but it's okay if people disagree on the big point. I think all the parts that I'm going to say are true. Whether they build towards a bigger point or not, it's sort of up to you. You could take each part on its own without the bigger point. Okay. I want to talk about Hanukkah, but in a bigger context, and that is in the context of the nature of miracles. What's a miracle? What does it mean when God does a miracle? What does that say about our role? What does that say about our role in the world? And ultimately, there are two cycles of holidays that we have. There's Doraisa holidays, and that's, the Shalosh Regalim, and you can also count Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And then the entirety of Drabbanan holidays are Chanukah and Purim. And I think ultimately we can see a big difference, not just sort of historically, but in the nature of how the world works in the differences between Doraisa holidays and Drabbanan holidays. Let's start with a dumb question. Okay. Why did Chazal establish the holiday of Hanukkah? Why did Chazal establish any holiday? What is it that motivates them to pick something as a holiday and others to leave behind? So let's start with, the most famous, I think, and it's a unique and fascinating Gemara in Shabbos, Chof Aleph Amud Beis. Just as an aside, there's only two blot of Gemaros on Hanukkah. There's any holiday on which you could finish every single Gemara about the holiday. It's Hanukkah. So if you want to do that, ask the Gemara a really ridiculous question. Oh, I should put it on the screen so then you could read it with me and it will be good. Okay. You got it? You see it? Okay. My Hanukkah. Ask the Gemara and Shabbos Chaf Aleph from the base. What's Hanukkah? The Tanu Rabban and the Brisa says, on the 8th day of, I'm sorry, on the 25th day of Kislev starts Chanukah, which is made up of 8 days. What are those 8 days? There are 8 days in which it's also to eulogize and it's also to fast. It doesn't sound like a really great holiday. It's defined in negative terms, but okay. Now, what's the holiday? Because when the Greeks broke into the Beis Hamikdash, they were mitame all the oil. When the Chashmonaim won the war, they found only one cruse of oil. That was, stamped OU, right? It was for sure kosher. But it was exactly a day's worth of oil. Says the Gemara, Na'asa bones, a miracle happened. V'hidliku mimenu shmona yamim, and it lit for 8 days. L'shana acheret, on some other year. At some other time, they made it into a holiday that includes Hallel and Hodah. Okay, we could spend all our time trying to sort out this Gemara because there's so many things strange about it. Let's just list a few. My Chanukah. Really? I've never heard of Chanukah before. You don't find the question, my Purim, you don't find the question with respect to Shalosh Regalim. Here you have this strange question. Okay, second question. What does it mean, l'shana acheret? Meaning there was a miracle that year. L'shana acheret, literally on some other year, they established a holiday called Chanukah. Why on some other year? How many years later is it? What's going on there? Third, the Gemara says, beginning, that Chanukah is 8 days in which you don't do hespedim. And you don't fast. Great. When we get to the end of the Gemara of some other year when they made it a Yom Tov, Behalel v'Hodah. That sounds like a much bigger, much more festive holiday than simply 8 days in which we don't fast and we don't eulogize. But of course, the biggest question which everybody asks is, that's it? The whole story is the miracle of the oil? What in the world happened to the war? What in the world happened to the fact that we were being persecuted by the Greeks and that there was a huge rebellion which probably returned Jewish sovereignty to Yerushalayim, right? How could it be that the whole holiday is just focused on the miracle of the oil? Okay, so that's a very, very famous question that the Gemara seems to not reference at all what you and I would think of as the major part of the miracle, which is the overthrowing of the Greeks. Now, why do you and I think that that's the major miracle? Well, first of all, because that's what they taught us in nursery and kindergarten. That's part. But also because that's the theme in Al Hanisim. If you look in source number two, forget that it looks like I got it from the Siddur of Amram Gaon. I just word searched it on Bar Ilan. That's where it came up. They didn't have a Siddur. Here's what we say, more or less. We say the same thing. B'mei Matityahu ben Yochanan Gohen Gadol Chashmoni Uvunav Kisha Amda Alehen Malchut Yavan Harisha'a, when the evil Greeks stood against us, Alamcha Yisrael, Lahashkicham Mitoratacho Ulahaviram Mechukei Rasonecha. They wanted us to violate the Torah. It's not exactly clear how, in what ways exactly, but let's go. Va'ata b'rachamecha, but you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in your great mercy, amadata lohem be'it saratam. You stood against them at our great time of sorrow. What'd you do? Ravta et rivam danta et inam nakamta masam. You fought for us. You revenged for us. Masarta giborim biad chalashim. Right? You gave over the mighty Greeks into the hands of some weak Jews. V'rabim biad matim, many into few. Rishaim biad sadikim, timayim biad tahorim. V'zeidim biad oskei toratecha. Okay? There's nothing here about the oil. There's just the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped us and we won a war. Okay? And then they just as a throw-in, va'achar kein bo v'anecha l'dvir beitecha, when it was all over, sort of the epilogue, we came back to the Beit HaMikdash, ufinu et heichalecha, and we cleaned it out, v'tiharu et mikdashecha, we purified it, v'hidliku neirot b'chatzot kachecha, and we lit the menorah in the hall, you know, in the Beis HaMikdash. V'kavu shmonat yamim b'halel v'hoda al lishmecha. Okay, when we say v'kavu shmonat yamim elu l'hodos la'alel shimcha gadol, there's not a mention. It's the polar opposite of the Gemara. In the Gemara, there's no mention of the fact that there was a war. In Al Hanisim, there's only the war. And then, by the way, after the war, we went back to the Beis HaMikdash. But even there, when the Chazal had a chance to put in that we came back to the Beis HaMikdash and a miracle happened that allowed us to light the menorah, they don't do that. It's as if, okay, one of the reasons we got back to the Beis HaMikdash was to light the menorah. So we have two, you know, basically opposite sources for the reason for Hanukkah. One, miracle of the oil in the Beis HaMikdash. Two, miracle of the war of Rabim Biad Ma'atim. Okay, let's leave it at that for now. Now, there's even the first question obviously is, okay, so which one is it? Leave that. There's a bigger problem in that the Gemara doesn't make sense on a halachic basis. And here there's a whole range of challenges to the story of the Gemara, not historically, but just in terms of the substance. The story of the Gemara is we made a holiday because God made a miracle in the Beis HaMikdash that allowed the menorah to light for 8 days. Ask the Maharal. I'll put it in my terms because I'm much more creative. Okay, Jackie, I'm joking. Okay, Maharal would say, the example is as follows. Okay, you're stranded on a desert island. It's Erev Pesach. Okay, all of a sudden, literally, matzah falls. You have no matzah. Okay, so you're stuck. Matzah falls from heaven. And in a double miracle, it doesn't break. Okay, it lands there, and now you have matzah to eat at the Seder. Says the Maharal, as far as I know, that's not a miracle that we're supposed to make a holiday for. Because that's just a miracle that allows us to do a mitzvah. Okay, it's a lovely thing. Right? It's a lovely thing. I wasn't going to have Dalet Minim. A miracle happened. And now I have Dalet Minim and I could do that mitzvah. But if I didn't have Dalet Minim, Be'ones, okay. So if I didn't have matzah on Pesach, so I missed on a mitzvah saseh. What are you going to do? I'm on a desert island. The Maharal says, halacha is clear, arba'at tzrichim lahodot. There are four categories of people who have to praise God and make like a minor holiday. All of them are examples of your life being saved. None of them are examples of, well, it was going to be terrible. We weren't going to be able to sit in the sukkah. And then a miracle happened. Okay, that's great. And you should praise God for it. But that's not in the category of establishing a holiday. The Pnei Yoshua adds to that, and there's tens of ways you could ask this question. He says, not only did we didn't need a miracle at all, because the din in the Beis HaMikdash is Tuma Hutra B'Tzibur. We all know that if Rov Klal Yisrael are Tameh on Erev Pesach, so you bring Karban Pesach B'Tuma, because there's no reason, you know, there's no worry about people becoming Tameh. Everybody's Tameh. So in that case, you're allowed to bring the Karban Pesach B'Tuma. Says the Pnei Yoshua, we all just came back from a war. Everybody was Tameh. Of course you could have lit Tameh oil in the Beis HaMikdash. It's completely mutter. So again, you could ask the question in a range of ways, but the fundamental question is, why are we making a holiday for something that didn't involve life-saving? Right? It's a nice thing. It allowed us to light the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, but didn't save anybody's life. And it seems strange that that should be the story that the Gemara tells, pursuant to which Chazal made a holiday called Hanukkah. Okay, that's the second part. Now, this leads us to what I think is hands down the most famous question in all of halachic literature. I could tell you that I'm aware in the Gush Library, there's a sefer that has 300 answers to this question. And then a later sefer came out that has 500 answers to this question. Now, obviously, they're not all, you know, the question is just a jumping off point to discuss Hanukkah. But what is that question? And I really do think maybe the most famous question. Look at the Beis Yosef in source number 3. Says the Beis Yosef, Ve'ika lemeidak, one could look, one could ask, Lama kavu shmona yamim, why is Hanukkah 8 days long? There was enough oil, according to the Gemara, to light for one night. V'nimtza shelo na'asa hanes ela b'shiva leilot. Right? So if the Gemara says the story is they had enough oil to light for one night, well, it means the miracle was 7 days, not 8 days, because one day was just the regular natural amount of oil that burned. So why that's the famous question. Why is Hanukkah 8 days and not 7 days, given that the miracle of the oil was a 7-day miracle? Beis Yosef gives 3 answers. 2 of them are pretty much the same. Again, it's only 3. He doesn't give 300. V.A. Shloma, says the Beis Yosef. And, you know, each of the questions is kind of like a technical re-understanding of the story. They're fascinating, but they're not foundational. They're just fascinating. So let's look at them. V.A. Shlomar, says the Beis Yosef, Shechilku Shemen Shebepach Lishmona Chalakim. Now, what they did was, they knew in the story that it would take 8 days to get Shemen Tahar. That's how long it takes to make Tahar Shemen, to travel and come back. So says the Beis Yosef, what they did was they split the amount of oil into eighths. And each night they would put in 1/8 of the oil, and it would stay alight or alit. It would stay lit, until the morning. Turns out then that there was really a miracle every night of the 8 nights. Because every night they put in 1/8 of the oil, and every night a miracle occurred that 1/8 of the oil burned the whole night long. Okay, it's a very creative answer, and it works. Va'od Yesh Lomar is another answer. What happens is every night, they put in the entire amount of oil, right? So it filled up the receptacle, the cup, I guess, that holds the oil. In the morning, nishar hapach male kibitchila, v'nikar hanes af b'layla harishona. Right? What happens was, in the first morning they came in, and the cup of oil was still full. So it means the miracle happened the first night as well. Because it's true, there was enough oil in the cup to burn for one night, but when they came back, they found the cup full. It means a miracle occurred the first night also. Okay? Now, you could ask the obvious question, which people ask. I'm not really sure what the answer is. The question is, fine, so you just moved the non-miracle from the first night to the eighth night. Because according to this story, the cup stayed full the whole time. So the eighth night burned with a regular amount of oil. Okay, different one. Inami, very similar. Shebaleil Rishon Natnu Kol HaShemen B'Neirot. On the first night, they poured in all the oil. V'dalku Kol HaLayla U'Bavoker Mitzau HaNeirot Mele'im Shemen V'Chein V'Chol Layla V'Layla. It's almost the same thing. I think maybe this time the pouring cup kept all the oil. But either way, the Beis Yosef gives technical answers to his question of why the holiday is 8 days. Okay, let's leave that because we'll come back to it. Okay, let's move on to the nature of miracles, which is the thing that I'm most interested in before we come back. What is a miracle and how does God make a miracle? Right, we're talking about the miracle of the oil. Maybe we're talking about the miracle of the war as well. What's a miracle? What do we know about miracles? So there's a very interesting approach. I'll ascribe it to the Ramban, because I think most people see it as the Ramban's, and it's really a brilliant idea. The Ramban says as follows. In the beginning of the Torah, when it says, V'haretz hayta tohu vavo v'choshech al p'nei tahom, right? And God creates the world. So the Ramban says, God created the world Yesh me'ayin, right? Something from nothing, or as we like to say in Latin, ab initio. I think that's what we like to say in Latin. I don't really know Latin, so I'm not sure. Ex nihilo.
Ex nihilo.
So sorry. Luckily, Elka just told me. Okay, fine. Apparently, we don't like to say it in Latin. Now, the Ramban says the creation of tohu and vohu are these two elements which God uses to create everything else. In other words, says the Ramban, of course God could create a miracle, Yesh Me'ayin. He's God. But he chooses not to. He created the world, Yesh Me'ayin, something from nothing. But thereafter, miracles take place, I'll say, in a more natural setting. Okay, what's an example of this? So look at source number 4. Famous miracle of oil also. The story is as follows. V'isha achat minishe b'nei ha-nevi'im tsa'aka el Elisha le'mor. Right? A woman cries to Elisha and says, Avdecha ishi mate. My husband died. Va'ata yadata ki avdecha haya yareet Hashem v'hanosheb balakachat et shnei yiladai lo la'avadim. And my husband was a really good person. And now the debt collector is going to take my children. Va'yomer eleha Elisha. Here it goes. Elisha says to her, Ma'aselach, what can I do for you? Hagidili ma yeshlach babayit. What do you have at home? And she says, Vatomer, ein lishivchatcha kol babayit. I have nothing. Ki'im asuch shaman. Except I have, one cruse of oil. Vayomer lechi sha'alilach kelim min achutz me'ed kol shcheinayich. Go and borrow as many vessels as you can from your neighbors. Kelim reikim al tamiti. Empty jugs, empty barrels. Don't be stingy. Get as many as you can. Uvat v'sagart hadelet ba'adayich uva'ad bonayich. Then lock the door from the inside. V'yatzakta al kol ha'kelim ha'ele v'hamalei tasi'i. And start pouring oil from the little bit of oil you have and keep pouring. it'll fill up all of the vessels. Okay? So on the one hand, it's obviously an enormous miracle, right? She has, I don't know, a few ounces of oil, and the Navi turns them into, you know, gallons and gallons of oil from which she sells them and her family survives. What's the sense you get from the story in Navi? Elisha asks her, what do you have at home? Okay, she says oil. The sense I get is if she said cakes, then he would have done the miracle with cakes. You know, and she would have had, you know, I don't know, 1,000 cakes, and she would have opened the bakery and sold them and made the money, right? He needed something to work with in order to do the miracle. That's why he says to her, you know, tell me what you have, and based on what you have, I'll be able to do a miracle. Because that's how miracles are done. I'll say Bizman Hazeh, but even Bizman HaNeviim. Miracles are done, yesh meyesh. Give me something, and I'll turn it into something bigger, something better. But I need to start with something. Because in the world we live in, that's how miracles work. Now, how do I know that it's true? And how did I even remember this story? Because the Ramban says it. Look at source number 4. The Ramban here is talking about the Shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash, right? So, you know, you go into the Kodesh, and there's the Shulchan HaZahav, the Mizbeach HaZahav, and the Menorah, and then the Shulchan. The Shulchan is the vessel in the Beis HaMikdash we talk about least, but it's the one on which they put the Lechem upon him, right? 12 loaves of bread, and every Shabbos they would switch it, okay? First Rashi. So, and the Shulchan has a Zer Zahav Saviv, a golden crown around it. Okay, says the Ramban in Shmos, Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Chaf Dalet, that Zer Zahav Saviv, first he quotes Rashi, Siman LeKeter Malchut. It's a sign of kingship. Shehashulchan Shem Osher Ugdulahu. Because the Shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash is a sign of wealth and greatness. Kmo Shamrim Shulchan Melachim, Lashon Rashi. Okay. Says the Ramban, V'chein HaDavar. I agree completely with Rashi. Shezeh Sod HaShulchan. This is, in fact, the secret of the Shulchan. What's the secret of the Shulchan? Ki Birkat Hashem Me'et Hayot HaOlam Lo Nivra Yesh Me'ayin. He said, because once God, this is the point I made before, from the time God created the world, He doesn't do miracles, yesh me'ayin. He doesn't do miracles, something from nothing, ex nihilo. Aval, olam kimin hago noheg. The world operates according to its rules. Dichsiv, vayar elokim et kol asher asa vihine tov ma'od. God looked at everything that he had created, which I understand in this context to mean he looked at the world, he looked at nature, and he liked it. He thought it worked. And he thought that's how the world should work. Okay? So the Ramban would say, that there are more confusing Rambans in other places, but here the Ramban basically has a theory of minimization of miracles. God created a world in which the rules of nature should govern, such that, you know, if I drop my watch now, I think there's every reason to believe that the rules of nature or the rule of gravity will let my watch drop. It's true, God could change it if he wanted to. But says the Ramban, more or less, God creates a world that runs naturally. Okay, fourth line in the middle. Aval ka'asher yiyesh sham shoresh davar. But if there's a thing there already, tachul alav habracha v'tosif bo. Then God can make that thing more powerful, qualitatively, quantitatively, however you want to understand it. And here's our story. Ka'asher amar Elisha, just like Elisha said to the woman, Hagidi li mayesh lach babayit. And then, v'chala habracha alasuch shemen, umala kalak elim. Once she had oil, then the Navi turned it into a lot of oil. Ube Eliyahu kara kemach lo chalta v'tzapichit hashemen lo chasar. The same type of miracle is done by Eliyahu. And now it comes to the point of the Shulchan. V'chein ha-shulchan b'lechem ha-panim. So too the Shulchan and the showbread on it. Bo tachul habracha. On the bread, God's blessing lands. Umimenu yavo hasova l'chol Yisrael. And through that bread, all of Klal Yisrael can be satiated. Ulekach amru kol kohen shemagia kapul ochel v'sabea. That's why the Gemara says any kohen who gets even a tiny bit of the lechem aponim becomes satiated. Because the lechem aponim does two things. God's blessing falls on the lechem aponim to make it, you know, the most filling food in the world. And if I understand correctly between the lines, the Ramban is also saying that the lechem aponim stands at symbolically for the food of the Jewish people. And so the Jewish people present food to God. God blesses that food. And now all of our food is blessed. Okay? But within the Ramban, the fundamental idea is clear, right? God doesn't want to do miracles. And when he does miracles, he wants those miracles to be limited. They have to be yesh mi yesh.
So how does that, what about the man?
Yeah, I don't know.
What about Kriyas Yam Suf?
Well, there he stopped water. There was water.
Let's say this. I guess there's two possibilities. The Ramban never heard of the man or Kriyas Yam Suf, or the Ramban has an answer. I assume, you know, the truth is, I don't want to get off the track too much. But with respect to Kriyas Yam Suf, I know the answer. In fact, I know the Ramban. I just thought of it. The Ramban asks there, why does the Pasuk have to tell us, Vayolech Hashem Ruach Yam Kadim Kol Alayla Vayosem Esayam LaYabasha, right? Why does God have to say, the Torah has to say that a wind came all night long and blew the two sides and opened it up? So that Paro could think it was a natural phenomenon. Not that I saw the movie, I don't think. Maybe I did. In Bruce Almighty, which has a lot of important messages for Judaism, right? He takes a bowl of soup and he blows the middle and it separates into two sides. I think that's exactly the point. And I think with respect to the man also, the psukim describe it like the stuff falls from heaven like matar. So sometimes rain falls, sometimes food falls, but they're both nourishing. And I assume those are the answers, but I don't want to get too caught up in it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Jackie, don't you want to say thank you also?
More than just thank you. Thank you very much.
Sorry, joking. Okay, now, what's the point of a miracle yesh meyesh? Especially, I think the answer is, and now we move towards the main point. I think the answer is that it requires a partnership with God. It's a situation in which we do something, and then in return, God does his part. And now that I've been completely convinced that I should talk about Kriyas Yam Suf, right? That's the whole Medrash. Until Nachshon ben Aminadav goes in and Ki'ilu demands that God make a miracle, nothing happens. The point is, God says to man, you do your part and I'll do mine, right? You do as much as you can do and I'll do the rest. I heard from my father, Zichrono Livracha, I think it's a Sfas Emes, but it very much speaks to me, right? Go back to the Beis Yosef's question. Why is Chanukah 8 days and not seven? So my father told me 7 days is God's miracle. 1 day is the celebration of the fact that we lit the menorah with the confidence that it would stay lit for 8 days. I always think about this. If it was me in the Beis HaMikdash, I would have said, what's the point of lighting the menorah? It's not going to work. Mm-hmm. We only have 1 day of oil. But I think this Sfas Emes that my father quoted was, that's exactly the point. 1 day we celebrate that we took the initiative, that we were willing to believe in God and that God would do something. And in response, God made a miracle. But had we not done our part, had we not lit the menorah ourselves, then God would never have made a miracle. Because the way miracles work in the world is that they're there to complete human action. Human beings partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We do our part, then he does his. Now, this might also be the real answer for the question we started with.
Eli, are you saying that everything requires his shtadlus? That and then it's like, you know, how we look at everything in halacha and hashkafa?
I don't want to say everything, but yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. And now I'll say more. What happened? Let's go back to the Gemara. The Gemara asks, you know, what's Hanukkah? And it tells us, it leaves out the war story as well. Okay. What's a possibility? A possibility is the following. And this happens in the world all the time. I'm not going to beat you to death with Zionism, but as I talk, you know, think Six-Day War. Okay. Some incredible miracle happens, right? There's a Greek army. It's enormous. It has all the advantages. They're going to exterminate the Jews. And then we win the war. Rabim biad matim tmeim ba'ad tarim rishayim biyaz. Right? We win the war. And in that moment, everybody understands that it was a miracle. Now, you can't prove it because, in fact, we had brave soldiers and we had great generals. And I'm sure we had strategic, you know, there were all these strategies. Anybody could deny the miracle and say, no, the reason why you won is X, Y, and Z. When I read histories, okay, now I'll beat you over the head. I said I wouldn't, but I can't resist. When I read histories of the Six-Day War, not that I read it all the time, but, you know, the moment the war starts and, you know, the Jordanian radar guy goes for coffee at exactly the moment that he needs to go to coffee, and the Egyptians turn off their radar because there's another plane in the area and all these things. Now, there's no way to convince anybody that it's a miracle. You could always deny it. But if you want to believe, if you believe in God and you look at it, you see, you know, you understand and you feel it. And so after the war with the Greeks, everybody knew it was a miracle. Everybody felt it was a miracle. And they poured out, you know, great praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what happens as time goes on? As time goes on, you forget. As time goes on, you know, a lot of people win wars. Somebody has to win the war. And how do you really know there's a miracle? So, Lishana Acheret, remember the Gemara said they established a holiday at a later date, right? Lishana Acheret Kiva'um Va'asa'um Yamim Tomim Ba'alel V'Hoda'a. Years later, and I have no idea how many years later, as people started to forget the fact that the war is a miracle, Chazal completely changed the narrative. Chazal said, okay, you know what? If I can't convince you about the war, I'll convince you about the oil. Because that looks much more like a miracle. A lot of ways it could have worked. You know, you could use thinner wicks.
In comparison
to one holiday at a time. Okay, you know what? Fine. What happened with Purim? Exactly the same thing. Whose name is missing from the Megillah? Right? Purim stands for Nes Nistar. That's the theme of Purim. You know what a Nes Nistar is? A Nes Nistar is a deniable miracle. A Nes Nistar is something where I say it's a miracle and other people say it's a coincidence. You know, Esther happened to be taken to the palace and Mordechai happened to overhear and this and that, right? That's the whole theme of Purim. Thank you, Henry. Now, I also want to suggest that that's an explanation for a Rambam. Now, again, it's a cool Rambam, whether you believe it, whether my explanation is right or not. But in source number 6, the Rambam has one sefer called Hilchos Megillah v'Chanukah. Okay, the first two prakim are Megillah or Purim. The second two are Chanukah. So most people would say, you know, well, really Megillah could have been its own and Chanukah could have been its own. But each of them is only two prakim, so the Rambam didn't want to have Sfarim of two prakim, so he put them both together. But it seems obvious that the Rambam sees them as a group. The Rambam sees both mitzvos d'Rabbanan as being twins. So first thing first, right? The Rambam is not a great exaggerator, and he doesn't editorialize, not in the Yad HaChazaka, but in Hilchos Megillah v'Chanukah, Perek Dalet Acha Yud Bet, source number 6, the Rambam says, Mitzvat Ner Chanukah, Mitzvah chavivah hi ad ma'od. The Rambam basically says, God, I love Chanukah. It's like my favorite holiday. He doesn't say this about Pesach or Sukkot or what is that? And then he just goes on and says, ulahosif b'shevach hakel v'hodaya lo al hanisim she'asalanu. And people have to, you know, modia hanes ulahosif b'shevach hakel hagadol. I think that's because people denied the miracle. And so lighting menorah validates the miracle of the war. Because one without the other doesn't make any sense, right? Again, come back to our question earlier. Why would you make a holiday for a miracle that allows us to do a mitzvah? That's not a miracle that we're supposed to celebrate. You'd be grateful. The answer is no, that was never the miracle. The miracle was the war. The oil was the sign that the war was miraculous. Now, let's try to connect this with one last idea. Look at source number six. Here's the Ram at the beginning of Hilchos Megillah v'Chanukah, right? It's Perek Gimel Halacha Aleph, means this is the first halacha about Chanukah. B'bayis sheni kishamalchu yavon gazru gizeirot al Yisrael ubitlu datam v'lo hinichu otam lasok b'atarav mitzvot. It's story time in the Rambam. He's giving us the story of Chanukah, right? The Rambam doesn't do this anyplace else. So why does he do it here? So really smart people saying, it strikes me as very, very convincing, that the Rambam in his introduction to the Yad HaChazakah said, if you have my Yad HaChazakah and a Tanakh, you have everything you need. So why does he give the history of Chanukah and no other histories? The answer is every other history of a holiday exists in Tanakh. Purim got into Tanakh when Megillas Esther got in, but Chanukah never made it in. Okay, so the Rambam has to describe the history of Chanukah so that you have all the information. Fine. The Greeks came with Pashtu Yadam and Mamonam and Bidotehem. They did all these bad things. And they ruined the Beis HaMikdash. Vitzar Lahem Lisrael Ma'od Mipnehem. And it was a very difficult time to be Jewish. V'lachatzum lachatz gadol ad sherichem alehem alokei avoteinu. V'hoshiyam miyadam. Until God saved us. V'hitzilam. V'gavru b'nei chashmonai ha-kohanim ha-gidolim v'hargum v'hoshiyu Yisrael mi-adam. Then the Kohanim, the sons of Matisyahu, came in and they won the war. They saved us. Bottom line of the first source there. V'ha'emidu melech min ha-kohanim. By the way, that's a loaded line because Kohanim are not supposed to be kings. But leave that. V'chazra malchut li-Yisrael yeter al matayim shana. Okay, and the sovereignty returned to the Jewish people for 200 years until Churban Bayis Sheni. Ukishe gavru Yisrael halacha bet. Ukishe gavru Yisrael al oyvehem v'ibdum. And when we beat our enemies, v'chavesrim b'chodesh kislev haya, it was the 25th of Kislev. V'nichnesu laheichal, they came into the Beis Hamikdash. V'lo matzu shem et tohavi mikdash al apach echad. V'lo yabol lahadik al yom echad bilvad. V'hidliku mimenu nerot hamaracha shmona yamim ad shekitashum zeitim v'hotziu shem en hatahar. Okay, the second halacha is the miracle of the oil, right? That one day of oil lasted for 8 days until they were able to recreate kosher oil. So on the one hand, what's great in the Rambam is he has both parts. The first halacha, halacha aleph, is the miracle of the war. The second halacha, halacha bet, is the miracle of the oil. And the Ram presents both. And again, you know, that's what we believe to be the case. That's what we grew up believing. It's all great. But there's something interesting in the Rambam. And it makes the holiday of Hanukkah a little less exciting. The Rambam says the bottom line of the first source, where my cursor is, V'chazra malchut liYisrael yeter al matayim shana ad ha-churban ha-sheni. And Jewish sovereignty returned more than 200 years. Historians disagree, but you know, let's say 200 years until Churban Bayis Sheni. So what was the miracle of Chanukah? What did Chanukah change in Jewish history? I would suggest absolutely nothing. Okay, we squeezed out another 200 pretty mediocre years of Jewish sovereignty until everything fell apart. So the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, right? Perhaps Chanukah delayed the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, but it didn't change Jewish history at all. And I think this is the second part of the miracle, the issue of miracles that we're discussing. Somehow, I grew up in a world, and therefore I assume all of you did also, although none of you got your training in the Torah Academy for Girls in Far Rockaway like I did. But we, you know, we think we're only supposed to celebrate things that bring the geula, right? Interim steps don't interest us because we're impatient people. I want to celebrate a miracle where the end of the story is, you know, we came to Eretz Yisrael, we got the Torah, we were saved by God, and everything went really well after that. But here the Rambam tells you they did not live happily ever after. So why does the Rambam love Hanukkah so much? And I think the answer is related to the miracle idea. The answer is miracles are no longer as obvious as they once were. Miracles are the result of us partnering with God. And we're supposed to be willing to celebrate miracles that are kind of only interim. They don't lead to the final step. But nevertheless, there are things that happen in the world that we're supposed to celebrate because they're good things. Are they the ultimate thing? No, but it's a good thing. And therefore, we're supposed to celebrate it, right? You got a job. You got the job you always wanted. So I think the Ram would say, so celebrate. Ah, you could still get fired and the company could go bankrupt and all these things could happen. Yeah, but right now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a good thing for you. And I think the Rambam thinks that Drabanan holidays, the theme of Drabanan holidays are partnering with God and celebrating incremental steps. What does the Gemara say about the holiday of Purim? Why don't we say Hallel? Akati Avde Achashverosh Anan. Right? After the story of Purim, we were still the slaves or the subjects of a lunatic. Nevertheless, that's why Chazal made up holidays. They made up holidays not because they changed Jewish history, but because they're interim steps towards the change in Jewish history, and they're worth celebrating. And again, I promise not to do the Zionistic thing, but just 30 seconds, right? I sometimes think to myself, who cares if Israel's Reshit Tzmichat Geulateinu or whatever the words are that they changed in Bnei Sharon? It doesn't matter. We're 70 years in, okay? Obviously, I hope it is. We all hope it is. But there's plenty to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for, whether it's the final Geula or not. The Rambam says the miracle of Hanukkah was not the final Geula at all, but it bought us time, and it was worth celebrating, and it was a miracle that was done in response to us. Right? Again, not to beat it to death. You get an army, and then God helps the army. You try to take, you know, you try to build a sovereign nation, and then God helps you. But if you don't do that, why would God help you? And I suspect the Rambam would say that about the ultimate Geula also, which is incremental and needs to be built ground up by human beings. If human beings try to build a just society, if human beings try to partner with God so that we do our part and then God does his, that's the plan. And if you look in the Rambam in source number 7, he describes Chanukah in an odd way. Many people have pointed this out, but it's really fascinating. The Rambam says, V'yamim elu hein ha-nikraim Chanukah. Okay, these 8 days are called Chanukah. V'hein asurim behesped v'tainit kimei Purim. Well, why? Just say, V'hein asurim behesped v'tainit. I know what that means. But the Rambam thought of Chanukah and Purim as being twinned. And so he said, no, they're also behesped v'tainit, just like Purim. Watch this. V'hadlakat ha-neirot bohen mitzvah midivrei sofrim. I understand. Just say v'adlakat neirot by mitzvah midivrei sofrim. I know what a mitzvah midivrei sofrim means. It means it's the Rabbanan. But says the Rambam, no, it's just like kriyas hamegillah. And you find the same thing in the next halacha. Kol shechayav b'kriyat hamegillah, chayav b'hadlakat ner Chanukah. That's a strange way to describe who has to light a menorah. In order to know who has to light a menorah, I have to go back and look and see who's chayav to read Megillah, and then those people are now also chayav to light menorah. I think the Rambam saw Chanukah and Purim as twinned, and twinned in a way that they represent the kind of miracles that happened, you know, after post-biblical times, post-Chamisha Chumshei Torah. They are muted miracles. They're deniable miracles. They're miracles that require us to do our part and HaKadosh Baruch Hu to respond in kind. But they're also miracles that should be celebrated. And it might, I'll end with this. It might also explain another halachic anomaly, which I find fascinating, right? You ask yourself, what are the dates for D'oraisa holidays? And the answer is look in the Torah. They have precise dates, right? Even Shavuos, which doesn't have a date, is the 50th day after the first day of Pesach. But when is Purim? When is Kriyas HaMegillah? So the Mishnah tells us, sometimes on the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, the 14th, the 15th. Okay? What's the din of Hadlakas Neros Chanukah? Well, there's the basic way, Ner Yishuveso. There's Mahadrin. There's Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin. Where do we ever have, in a mitzvah d'oraisa, different possible ways to do it? There are chumras, there are kulas, but where do we ever find, here's the mitzvah of dalad minim, here's how some people could do it, here's a better way to do it, here's the best way to do it. You never find that. I think one of the characteristics of a mitzvah d'rabbanan is that we have more input. To a certain extent, we decide what day to read Megillah based on our circumstances. We decide how we want to light a menorah. And I think that's related to the fact that d'rabbanan holidays, we partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. D'oraisa holidays, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did the whole thing. Okay? We have a date and we do the mitzvahs. But d'rabbanan holidays, we caused. We decided to rebel against the Greeks. We decided to rebel against Haman. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped us. In the end, I think that that's the biggest split between d'oraisa holidays and d'rabbanan holidays. And that's the deeper meaning of Chanukah. Chanukah is the type of miracle that's deniable, right? Chanukah is the type of miracle that they had to make a holiday later because people were denying that it was HaKadosh Baruch who did it in the first place. And Chanukah is representative of the kind of miracles that exist in our world, which is they're all deniable. They're responses to us, but they're deniable. And if there's a lesson, it's, I believe, that HaKadosh Baruch who created a world in which we partner with him. Once we got rid of miracles, Yesh Me'ayin, once HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided, according to the Ramban, no more miracles, something from nothing. Miracles are now in response to something, whether it's the lady having some oil or us having an army or Mordechai getting a job in the government, doesn't matter. To a certain extent, Mitzvot Rabbanan stand for our obligation to take the first step, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu then responds in kind, right? That's the idea for fencing, but even if it wasn't, Shabbat Shalom to everybody. And I guess, Henry, what we're saying, 8:15 next Friday is okay?
8:15 next Friday, and, you know, I'll send out.